Good evening. This is an interview for the Michigan Writers Series, Friday, October 19th, 2007. Tonight I am talking with the poet Kathleen Magookie, who is the author of the book of poems and prose entitled Whatever Shines, published by White Pine Press. Kathleen lives in Wayland, Michigan. Welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you.
How did you first get started writing?
Well, it was something I'd always done, even as a child, and it was something I was good at. But the time, I think, when I really got started being interested in writing poetry or essays or fiction was my junior year abroad in Paris. And I was a French major, so I could speak French pretty well. And by the end of that year, I could speak very well. But I always had the feeling there was something I couldn't quite express. And that's when I started doing a lot of journal writing in my own personal journal. And I felt a special connection to the literature I was reading then, just because it was my mother tongue. And when I came back, my senior year of college, I took a workshop with Jack Riddle at Hope College, and that really got me started.
Was it difficult to get published for the first time, and how did you go about doing it?
My first poem in a magazine?
First poem in a magazine.
It was difficult. I think I sent poems out for about 3 years, and they were all rejected. The difficult part was to keep doing it. I had a little notebook, and I wrote down, you know, what I sent out and where I sent it. And every time they came back, I tried to send them out again, even though it was quite discouraging. Every once in a while, I'd get a little note from an editor, and that helped a little bit. But mostly, it was just the kind of keep at it, you know, just keep doing it, keep sending it out.
It must have been a big accomplishment then when you put together a whole book. I mean, that must have been something that took a lot of work.
It did take a lot of work, yes. And a lot of the poems I'd written as part of my MFA work at Western. So I had a lot collected, but the actual organizing of it into a manuscript that had a cohesion and some kind of sense was a lot of work, and there were several different versions before the version that finally came out from White Pine.
Now, how did you get connected then with White Pine Press? Because they're not a local, they're not a Michigan publishing house.
No, they're in New York. Actually, it's a little bit complicated, but my manuscript was first accepted at New Rivers Press in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And then about 6 months before my book was supposed to come out, I got a call from the publisher saying that they were folding, they were going out of business. And I was shocked and, you know, quite sad. But it turned out that the editor of the series, my book is a part of the Marie Alexander prose poem series.
Right.
My editor found White Pine Press and kind of connected with that press and took my manuscript with him happily, because at that time I was, you know, kind of frantically trying to send it out again, but it was quite discouraging.
Yeah.
So luckily my editor found White Pine.
Yeah. Now, was there a lot of back and forth with your editor, or did a lot of your poems remain as you first wrote them, or was that how long between when you first sent the manuscript out and it landed in the hands of your editor to the point that it was published?
Well, I had been sending out my manuscript for about 6 years before Robert Alexander selected it. And he was a great editor. He was pretty hands-on. And after he selected it, we had, I think, two phone conferences where he told me pretty specifically poems that he wanted to take out of the book, and then also pretty specific comments about individual poems in the book, edits that he wanted to make. And I agreed with pretty much everything. I was, you know, thrilled my book was getting published.
Yeah,
I didn't
want
to be a problem. But also, I think he had a great eye, and I was really lucky to get an editor who took that kind of care.
Were there any brand new poems that were added in addition to the original manuscript?
Yeah, there were. There were several. It's hard to remember now the specifics, but I can think of one pretty much brand new one that ended up in the book.
Yeah.
But I did send him a batch, I think, of 10 or 12 more to choose from to put in the book.
Do you still stay in touch with him?
I do.
Yeah, I do. So he was a good teacher and an editor then.
He was. I felt very fortunate to have him for my first book.
Yeah. Good. What do you find the most challenging about being a poet?
Well, right now, the most challenging thing is finding the time to write. I'm sure every writer says that.
I thought you might say that, because you have two small children.
I do. I have two small children, so I'm constantly feeling the pressure of not having the time I would like.
Yeah.
But what I do is I hire babysitters, and I just go to my office in my house, and they entertain my children for 2 hours at a stretch.
Right.
And then I know that's actually helped, because I know I have that just 2 hours to produce something, and so it helps a little bit.
Right. And now that's very difficult to change gear. I know I'm a father, and so being with children and then switching gears to doing something that's not child-related can be difficult. But are you thinking a lot about your poetry, even while you're with your children, so that when you think, now when I get my time off, this is what I'm going to do?
I think it's in the back of my mind. The latest project I worked on was actually an essay that I'm hoping is a children's book, but it's pretty lyrical. And I did a lot of drafts in that in March, and then I sent it to someone who pointed out the problems with it, and I couldn't solve the problems then, but they were in the back of my mind. And I just, I'm hoping to read it tonight. And so this past week I worked on it some more, and I think fixed some of the problems.
Wonderful.
But yeah, things are in the back of my mind.
Yeah. Is it hard to be a children's writer?
Oh, gosh. I think so. I'm not even sure what I did ended up being a children's book. I mean, I like it, and I think my children might be interested in it, but I would think it's very hard. Yeah. I was looking at some models, you know, the Polar Express and Gloria Whalen's book, Jam and Jelly by Holly and Nelly. And looking at what they do in a short space of words is pretty incredible.
Yeah, it seems, on the surface, it seems very simple.
Right.
But obviously there's a lot more going on underneath the surface.
And yeah.
To craft it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are your biggest influences in writing?
Well, I've written prose poems for a number of years, and so a lot of my influences are prose poets. Charles Simic and Russell Edson and Gary Young especially, and then also some writers who aren't prose poets like Elizabeth Bishop and Bridget Pekin Kelly are some of my favorites and influences.
You mentioned Charles Simic.
Yes.
He's the poet laureate now.
Yes,
he is. In the United States, right?
Yes.
You knew that as well, right?
Yeah, yes.
He's been writing poetry, I think, for almost a half a century, it seems like. Yeah, so
yeah.
He's worked a very long time. What is a prose poem?
A prose poem is a poem that's in a paragraph instead of in lines, in verse.
Okay.
That's a very simple definition, but that's what I like
all
to
right.
work with.
And can you tell us how a prose poem, which is a paragraph, differs from just a normal paragraph?
A normal paragraph? Sure.
A narrative? Yeah.
Sure. Part of it is the quality of the language. It's very compressed, very lyrical. Attention to simile and metaphor, you know, figures of speech. I think a prose poem also has more attention to the sentence as a unit of rhythm, and it uses the sentences to establish kind of an underlying rhythm to the prose poem. Because when you look at it, you're not expecting, you know, you're not expecting rhyme, you're not expecting meter.
Right.
But some of those things are buried at the level of the sentence, and they emerge upon rereading.
Did you become interested in writing that way at an early, during your MFA studies?
I did. I would say probably in the middle of my MFA studies, I get interested.
And you've stuck with it pretty much the whole time.
I have since then.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I'll write something in verse, or I'll try a form, a poem in a form.
Yeah.
But I go back to
because I noted on the cover of your book, Whatever Shines, the subtitle is Prose and Poems, or Poems and Prose.
Yes.
Something.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right. Exactly.
Yep.
Okay. What writers do you enjoy reading the most?
You know, what's interesting is lately I've enjoyed nonfiction. I'm trying to think of what I've read. I've read the fictional account by Raymond Carver's wife, the nonfictional.
Tess Gallagher?
No, his first wife.
Oh, okay.
She wrote an account of their lives together, the early years.
That would be interesting,
So, yeah, I've been interested in memoirs by writers and sometimes not. But I don't know why that is. But I think there's a lot of discussion about memoir and nonfiction as a genre.
Yeah.
And it's something that's a little bit easier for me to enter rather than a book of poems. So I'm usually reading at the end of the day. So that
Sort of decompress.
Time to
be away. So nonfiction and the nonfiction you're reading right now is about writers, memoir and
Or mothers.
Or mothers.
And actually, there are some writers who are mothers who are writing that are interesting too.
Yeah. How has living in Michigan influenced you? Because I'm assuming you've lived in Michigan most of your life.
All my life, except for
on
the year
on the west side of the state, primarily.
Yep. Over there. Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard to say because I haven't lived anywhere else, but definitely I think an appreciation.
Is it evident in your prose? Do you physically use sights, sounds, places that you're familiar with in Michigan in your prose?
I don't know that they would be specifically recognizable as Michigan.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never had that question. It's a good one.
Okay. Yeah, we asked that as part of the Michigan Writers Series.
We always
think, well, now how did living in the state physically, emotionally, spiritually affect the way that you write? And some people, they have very specific examples. For example, Paul Clemens, who wrote about Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a simple one. Alison Swan, who's coming in a couple of weeks, writes about the environment and whatnot. So, but sometimes not. Sometimes people say, well, no, if it's there, it's very subtle, and I'm not even aware of it myself.
Yeah, well, one thing that comes into my poems quite a lot are lakes and birds. Mm-hmm. I know there's lots of places that would have lakes and birds, but I do know that those are two elements from the natural world that have entered my work, and they're the ones that I've experienced here in Michigan.
Yeah.
So I guess it would be a more subtle variation.
Yeah. Tell me about your life in Wayland.
My life in Wayland is my life with my 2-year-old and my 5-year-old.
Okay.
And I'm at home with them, and my life is running after them and picking up after them and having fun with them and reading to them. And it's very busy.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of writing gets done on the page, but I'm hopeful that this is one of those times in my life that will yield more poems when there's a little bit more time for
writing them down. Wonderful. Yeah, storing up some things.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Now, is Wayland a small town, right, in the west side of Michigan?
It's small,
yeah.
It's kind of rural.
Mm-hmm.
We live in between two lakes.
Okay.
We spend a lot of time outside exploring. Mm-hmm. My son loves to climb trees, so he's figuring out how he can get into a tree anywhere he is.
Right. What are you currently working on?
Well, the essay or the children's book, that's my most recent thing. I also have another manuscript of poems that I'm sending out that I'm hopeful will be accepted somewhere soon. And those two things are pretty much...
That's great.
My new projects,
Good. Well, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Surely.